Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
I'm so glad that Jesus went to the cross. I'm so glad that Jesus went to the grave. Isn't it amazing that this past Friday that we can call that day good? It was a day where Jesus was beaten, ridiculed, mocked, humiliated. He was pierced, he was wounded, ultimately killed, and we call it good, not because of what was done that day, but we could look into the future and know that there is a resurrection that is post-crucifixion. And I want to encourage every believer in the house today and online, no matter what you are facing today, Jesus always has a resurrection with your name on it. And no matter how the crucifying of your life is, and you might have been cut this year, and people might have stabbed you in the back or maybe even in the front. People have left you. People have walked in. Maybe you received a pink slip. Maybe 2022 has not been what you thought it would be. I want to encourage you. That is the crucifying experiences of your life. But if you keep your faith and hope in Jesus Christ, there is a resurrection. So I'm glad he went to the grave, but I am so glad, and we're talking about it this morning, that Jesus resurrected. So glad that he got out of the grave. Our services would be different today if we were just talking about the death of Jesus. But we talk about the death of Jesus only to draw one breath. In the very next statement, we're able to declare, he lives, he lives, he lives. I got up this morning at 5:30 to feed my horses. You say, why do you get up early to feed your horses? Do you like getting up early? Of course I do not. I got up early to feed my horses so I wouldn't have to do it when I get home because I've got a date with my bed. It's called a Sunday afternoon nap, and Sunday naps are the best naps. Easter Sunday naps are the most epic naps. And I fed my horses this morning, and as I jumped on social media, and it doesn't matter if it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, any of the social media platforms you're on, people I didn't even know were saved were typing out, he's alive. He is risen. Isn't it amazing that everyone loves talking about the resurrection? But we are one of the few churches, and you are one of the few peoples, that we don't just declare resurrection on a Sunday in spring, but we live resurrection. To me, I can't get out of the bed in the morning unless I remember that he got out of the grave 2,000 years ago. That every moment of my life when I'm tested and I'm tried and I go through the tribulations that this earth brings, I can always rely on if Jesus got up, the same spirit is in me and we can get up. So I'm so glad that Jesus resurrected. I'm so glad that Jesus ascended into heaven where he stands today at the right hand of the Father. And Luke 22 tells us that Jesus is not just standing there watching, but Jesus is praying for you just like he prayed for Peter. And you know what Jesus' prayer for you today is? Not for blessing and favor. He's praying that your faith would not fail. Why does Jesus pray for your faith? Because he knows if you have faith in his word and you have faith in his presence, it does not matter what comes your way. Does not matter what happens in your life. If you have Jesus in your life and faith in him, anything is possible. So I'm so glad that I know that Jesus is alive in heaven praying for us and preparing for us a place. And then I'm so glad that Jesus is coming back for believers. 2 Thessalonians paints that picture that at some point, hopefully, and I believe in the lives of people in this room and watching online, maybe it's some of the youngest children, they will never taste death. They will never have to lay in a casket. There will never be funeral goers that eulogize and mourn them. But I believe some people in this room and online are going to be caught up with Jesus in the air, that the eastern sky will split, trumpets will sound, and with a shout, Jesus will show back up to take those who believe and celebrate resurrection every day. Jesus' number one mission when he came to earth. And I know Living Way would be considered a mega church, and I know that some of our detractors would say that we are a prosperity preaching church. And of course we are a prosperity preaching church because Jesus is a prosperous God. Healing is prosperity. Come on. Deliverance is prosperity. It means you have more of his spirit than the adversary's spirit. Healing is prosperity. It means that you've got more life and health than you do death and disease. A strong marriage is prosperity. It means you have more love than hate, more love than bitterness, more love than unforgiveness. And yes, it can mean that you have enough money to not only pay your bills, but to support and have acts of philanthropy and to give to the church and to give to your neighbors and to support the causes that God places on your heart. And so I know that there's a lot of people who would say that that's the only thing we preach, but I encourage them to come to every service at Living Way, because at every service at Living Way, doesn't matter what the series is, we're going to preach Jesus. Doesn't matter what series, what doesn't matter what holiday it falls on, we're going to find a way to put Jesus in there. Because if you can go to a church and not hear Jesus, my friend, you did not go to a church. You might as well go to the Spurs game. Oh, wait, they're not playing anymore. You might as well drive up to Dallas and go to a Mavericks game. Jesus' number one mission when he came to earth was not to bless us. Jesus' number one mission when he came to earth was to seek and to save that which was lost. When I look at Jesus on the cross and we watch the movies like The Passion of the Christ, and we see the bloody and we see the skin ripped from his back with the cat of nine tails, and we see everything that he went through. And I'll be honest with you, I only saw The Passion one time because that's a movie that I can only take one time. I remember as a young man sitting in that theater that the church had rented out and sitting there and just weeping uncontrollably. And I remember at the end of that, even though it ends with the resurrection, there was a stunned silence, over 300 moviegoers from Living Way. And we just sat there. No one applauded. No one cheered. We sat there with the heaviness of what Jesus did for us. Jesus died for you. I shared this with young people and young adults last night before Mario preached to our young people. I said the greatest thing about John 3:16 is that God loved that he gave his only son, knowing that some of the people he gave it to would say, no thanks. But if you're here today and you're watching online, I believe that not only do we believe that he loved us enough to come and to sacrifice his only son, Jesus, on the cross, but we here at Living Way and sitting all over this room today, we reciprocate that love by living a life of pursuing Jesus, being discipled by Jesus, following Jesus, worshiping Jesus, serving Jesus on days other than Sunday. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. The very reason that Christ came to earth would not have been fulfilled without the crucifixion and resurrection. The seeking and saving of the lost, that would be you and me. The Bible says we were all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. You can't be good enough to go to heaven. You needed a perfect sacrifice, and that perfect sacrifice was Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that you didn't have to do what he did? I'm glad that not only did I have to not do it, but I'm glad that I've come to a place to realize I cannot do it without Jesus. So if you're in this room today, if you're watching online today and you don't know Jesus, I want to tell you three things. Number one, Jesus loves you. He loves you in spite of what you've done. He loves you in spite of who you are or who you think you are. There is no one in this room that is beyond the outstretched loving hand and love of a father that loves you so much that he gave his only son. Number two thing I want to encourage you and tell you is that Jesus came to this earth for you. When you look at Jesus' life on this earth, oh, there was a lot of high points. But don't you know, just like people today, when he fed the 5,000, don't you know there was people that heard the testimony in town and says, well, the rest of the world's hungry, why doesn't he feed them? We still hear the same things today. You buy a new car. Oh, think of what you could have done in Africa, in China, in Asia. Let me tell you something. God's big enough to bless you and them. And don't let anyone tell you different. He came to this earth for you. 8 billion of us almost. And he came for all of us. But I've got good news and sobering news that if it had just been you, he still would have come. Why? Because he loves you so much and you and I could not get the job done. Number three, he's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. He wants to transform your life. He wants to transform your eternal destination. Here at Living Way, in just a few moments, these altars are going to open. I love Living Way for many reasons, but I love that every service at Living Way, doesn't matter where you show up, whether it's kids' church, youth church, or Sunday or Wednesday church, every time you come to Living Way, we have at least two times for you to come to the altar. During praise and worship, you can come, but at the end, when we preach, we believe people are going to make forever decisions. That's why when I pray, and that's why when I celebrate what God has done, I use this phrase: God, thank you for filling an altar, but most importantly, thank you for filling hearts and minds and spirits with who you are. He loves you, he came for you, and yes, he is waiting for you today. Church hurt is a phrase that comes up pretty quickly now. It's ubiquitous around church folk and church talk. The word offense has been around for years. Some new vocabulary that has begun to infiltrate New Testament church and Bible-believing, Spirit-filled gospel churches is deconstructing. That's what the Bible calls apostasy. That's where people are beginning to fall away from Jesus because of what the church has done. They are hurt by someone in the church. They are hurt by what the church has done. They are hurt by a leader in the church. They are hurt and they're taking out what they're going through on an organization. And then there's something that has become a political buzzword. It is ex-evangelicals, those who used to believe but don't no longer believe. All four of those words, church hurt, offense, deconstructing, and ex-evangelicals, the real issue with so many people, they're real issues, but I can remind you this, fall in love with Jesus, not with a church, not with people. Not with leaders, not with a worship team, not with your favorite pastor, not with your favorite podcaster. Fall in love with Jesus, because when you fall in love with Jesus, you will overlook some of the mess inside the house because of your relationship with Jesus. I love my wife. I've lived with her for 19 years. Doesn't matter, doesn't mean that everything that happens in our house is perfect. It means that we overlook flaws because of our love. Love for one another. You say, Pastor, why are you saying that? Because I believe there's people watching today that they could have come to church today. They're not out of town, but they've been hurt by someone in the church. Maybe it's this church. Maybe it's a church across town or a church across country. I want to encourage you, do not let the enemy into your life because of what they did to you. Remember and focus what Jesus has already done for you, and that will help you stand the test of time. How many of you have ever had a bad meal? Raise your hand. Just a bad meal. Doesn't mean your wife cooked it. Now, don't think we're going there. Doesn't mean your husband, he burned everything on the barbecue pit. Have you ever had a bad meal? How many of you quit eating altogether after a bad meal? No, you didn't. You'd be dead. You quit eating that meal, but guess what you did 4 hours later? You ate again. What was different? You change locations. If you had a bad meal, switch restaurants. Don't stop eating. Oh, you missed it. I hear the church folk amening me, but can I talk to the Easter folk? I know what happened 2 years ago wasn't fair, but you've been starving for 2 years. And whether it's this church or another church, I just need you to get planted in a church, not eating. Don't go on a hunger strike because you had a bad meal. Your hunger is going to show up again. Just find a place that you can get a good meal. And this is coming from a pastor who I'm sure has done wrong many times. The food is never the problem. The chef and the wait staff are sometimes the issues. I've had some bad chicken nuggets from McDonald's. I might not go back to that McDonald's, but I'll go to another McDonald's and I'll get chicken nuggets. And if they're bad at that one, I might say, hey, it's a McDonald's thing. I'm gonna head over to Burger King and get 10 nuggets for $1.49. And if Burger King don't have it, I'm going to go to Chick-fil-A. That's God's chicken. Praise God. And if Chick-fil-A doesn't do me right, I'll go to Popeyes. And if Popeyes don't do me right, I'll go to Golden Chicken. If Golden Chick don't do me right, I'll go to Zaxby's. The problem is not the chicken. The problem is the person making the chicken or serving the chicken. Don't get it twisted. This is a church building. We are flawed people, but there is a Jesus that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still heals, still delivers, still saves, still does anything you need him to do. Somebody say amen. I knew that would preach good. I knew it would. I knew it would. There's a lot of people that are church hurt. Don't give up on the meal. There's a lot of people who are offended. Don't give up on the food. Get yourself that hunger again, and don't let people feed you. Go straight to the source. Many times we relegate resurrection to a day or an event. We say the resurrection of Jesus. I know people have said happy resurrection day, and it is an event and it is a day. However, the correction or the resurrection is so much bigger than a Sunday in the spring to commemorate the coming back of Jesus. Jesus said in John 11:25, before he was to raise Lazarus up from the grave, one of his best friends, he said to his sister Martha, I am the resurrection. Jesus is the resurrection. When you understand that it is not a day, a place, a time, or an event, but Jesus is the resurrection, and the resurrection is so much bigger, that should excite you. Why should that excite you? Because if you are a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, that means the resurrection that happened 2,000 years ago, it is still in you today, which means everywhere you go, there's a power to raise something up. Everywhere you go, there's a power to bring life back into that thing. That means our connection to Jesus comes with a promise of an infusion of life. I believe it was maybe 2 years ago, I preached a sermon called Jesus is Alive, Act Like It. I've got issue with churches that will be quiet today, that will sing a couple songs, and a sermon will be delivered, but more people are concerned with a potluck after service. Can I tell you that if you go to a quiet church that sings a couple songs and they share a sermon that doesn't change anybody, that is the same thing that happens at every funeral on the face of the earth. Everybody gets a little quiet. It's not that they don't want a lot of jubilant laughter and talking. Everybody's quiet. Everybody's somber. They sing a couple songs. Somebody gets up and shares a thought, and everybody goes home the same way. This is not that church. Why? Because we believe in the resurrection. We know the resurrection is not a day that we celebrate. Resurrection is a person that we know intimately. He's a person that I wake up to talking, go to bed talking to. I talk to him throughout the day. Sometimes resurrection checks me when I'm out of line. Sometimes the resurrection yanks me back when I'm out of the will. But the resurrection of Jesus infuses every situation with life. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I have come to give you life and that you might have it more abundantly. Two things that Jesus comes to give. He said to seek and save that which is lost, and he comes to give two things, eternal life and abundant life. Eternal life and abundant life. The number one thing that we have this church here for is not to just glorify God, because get this, church, I have the best worship services without Living Way Collective. I hear the best preaching straight from the throne room of God, not on a Sunday, Wednesday, or a podcast. You know the reason this church exists? Now, we can come in here and glorify and magnify and worship, but the real reason this church exists is a lighthouse to a dark world, and that when 250,000 people drive by this building every day, that they are faced with three crosses, and they have, I believe every atheist in San Antonio has to look at Jordan Ford when he drives by, but sooner or later that atheist is going to need a God, and he's going to remember the empty cross, and he's going to show up on a Sunday, and when he shows up, we're going to give him Jesus. Living Way Church exists to bring people to Jesus, or Jesus to people. Eternal life. And then for those of us that show up on Sundays and Wednesdays and Saturdays And for those Easter Christians, I'm so grateful you're here today. But just to give you an announcement, there's 51 other Sundays we meet. And it's just as good then as it is here. Someone asked me a couple years ago, why don't y'all do big, extravagant Easter plays and Easter productions on Easter Sunday morning? Because we are not here to entertain the masses. We want the experience that you have on Easter Sunday to be the same experience you'd have on a Sunday in July, on a Wednesday night in September. When you come into this place, eternal life. But for those of you that show up every time the doors are open, you're already saved, you're already headed to heaven, and so we pivot to abundant life. We pivot to strong marriages, strong children. We pivot to making an impact through our jobs and our careers and our vocation. We pivot to leaving generational wealth and blessing and favor for our children so they don't have to struggle the way that we struggled. Generational wealth so we can build orphanages, dig wells, give to all of these great philanthropic endeavors that God places in front of us, eternal life and abundant life. I've got four more minutes. John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection, followed up with, and I am the life. You know what I love about that phrase? It's the article the, meaning there is no other. Not many resurrections, one resurrection. Not many roads, sorry Oprah, one road. Not many ways, sorry Tom Cruise, one way, the truth, the life, the resurrection. His name is Jesus. Eternal and abundant life can only be found in Jesus. Romans 8:11, and the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is now living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Can I encourage believers and unbelievers alike? Can I encourage those watching online today that if you have accepted Jesus Christ into your life, or when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, the same resurrection power that rolled the stone away and that after 3 days of death got Jesus out of the grave, it now dwells in you, inside of you, the Bible says, and the reason it does is to quicken, is to make alive your mortal bodies, your mortality, which means this: everywhere you are, there's a resurrection power within you. It might be dormant, but it is in there, and I'm here to tell you, like Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift. The problem is we stir it up on Sunday, and by Monday, it's grown cold. That's why when you're brushing your teeth tomorrow morning, stir up the gift. When you're sitting at the train track waiting for the train to go by on Tuesday, stir up the gift. When you're sitting at the doctor's office on Wednesday, stir up the gift. When you're handling the court case on Thursday, stir up the gift. On Friday, when it seems like all hell is breaking loose, stir up the gift. Resurrection is inside of you. It didn't just happen then. It's happening right now. Turn to your neighbor and tell him it's already in you. Kind of sounds like that commercial that says if you had chicken pox, the shingles virus is already inside of you. I'm like, my God, get those commercials off. We just recovered from COVID. We don't need all that scare. John chapter 2, our original text, verse 13. I'll hurry through this. I got 90 seconds. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. For believers that maybe have focused on the New Testament, or your new believers, new converts, when you see the word Passover, it literally means that the death angel from the book of Exodus passed over the houses. You say, how did he know which houses to pass over? The blood of the lamb was put on the doorpost and above the doorpost. Can I just tell you that I know a lot of churches have gone away from it, but this is a church that has not gone away from it. We still celebrate it. There is power still in the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood still flows as strong today as it has ever flowed. It is what keeps me saved. It is what keeps me anointed. It is what keeps me focused. It is what keeps me healthy. It is what keeps me free. The blood still works. You know what I love when that death angel is going over the house? He's not checking on who's in the house. He's just checking who's under the blood. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, brown, pink, red, yellow, purple with polka dots. Doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. Doesn't matter if you're 15 or 95. God is not looking at anything else than are you under the blood. But guess who's also checking? The adversary is going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But I've got to let the devil know every day of my life, go down a block, go across the street. Why? Because the blood still works. The blood still flows. And I don't know what's over you, under you, or around you. I just know that I'm under the blood. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm under the blood. I'm under the blood. In the temple courts, Jesus found people selling cattle, sheep, doves, and others. Can you imagine if you had shown up today and we were having a horse auction? We were selling cows, selling doves. The Bible says that there was other people at tables exchanging money. This is the thing. The church is a place of exchange, but it's not of money. It's not of worldly things. It's not of worldly goods. The Bible says in Isaiah 61:3, a crown of beauty instead of ashes. That's the exchange. The oil of joy instead of mourning, that's the exchange. A garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair, that's the exchange. When you come to Living Way, more importantly, when you come to Jesus, there should always be an exchange. What he has for what you have. The Bible says, so he made a whip out of cords. Hold on now. Jesus did what? He made a whip out of cords and drove all the temple courts. Jesus made a bull whip. Jesus wasn't whipping people, but I promise you, he was snapping that whip. He was swinging that whip. He was chasing all of them out, both their sheep, their cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned the tables. That's not the Jesus we see portrayed in the movies. The Jesus in the movies, except for the Passion, is always some white man with blue eyes with a British accent that's a little soft. Can I tell you, don't let Hollywood change what Jesus is and what Jesus. Well, next time someone asks you, what would Jesus do? Remind them of this story. Well, he might make a whip and drive you out of my life because that's within the realm of possibilities. Well, he would love first. Oh, he would love first, but he didn't change out of love while he was holding the whip. Why? Because he said, my church has to be a place, my presence has to be a place where when people come, they can find me. They can find what I have to give them. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. To those who sold the doves, he said, get out of here, for you've turned my house into a marketplace. One translation says, what is supposed to be a house of prayer, you've turned into a den of thieves. He said, get out. What was Jesus doing? Jesus was saying, don't fill up the space that only I can fill. Don't rob me of an opportunity to be the resurrection for someone, to be life for someone. The church was created for the lost to find Jesus, for worship, for prayer, for transformation. But they had created a place for everything in the church except Jesus. Come to Living Way, we got this monster LED wall. I like the LED wall. Bishop was the one who decided to get it. And he told me 3 months ago, he said, we need a bigger wall. I said, okay. When Bishop says something like that, I jump on it immediately. So we have a new LED wall coming. It's going to go from column to column. New lighting's about to be installed, haze, all that. That doesn't take the place of Jesus. Me sitting on a stool telling you three ways to raise godly children is not going to get the job done. We can have classes for that. We can have accountability. We can have small groups for that. But when people come into the temple, to the church, we want to create a place for Jesus to become the resurrection. We want to create a place for Jesus to come out of the letters of the Bible. We want Jesus to come out of stained glass. I used to wear a cross on my neck. The cross I wore didn't have Jesus on it. Why? Because Jesus was only on that cross for a few hours. Get him off the cross. for our kids. It blessed me to see Natasha's son, who was worshiping. Halfway through worship, he cut around everybody and knelt at an altar. You say, what's so special about that? 8 months ago, none of his family was saved. Now all of his siblings, I think there's five of them, all of the siblings, mom, dad, grandma, they've all been saved. Aunties, uncles, all been baptized. They serve here. They worship here. What does that mean? We're creating a place not just for your kids to color Jesus in Sunday school, which is important, but to encounter Jesus and the resurrection.